All of you this morning. I nearly just sat right down on the floor. So good to see all of you this morning. I'm so glad that you're here. How many of you need strength and courage today? You'd say, I need some strength and courage. That's good because that's what we're going to talk about for the next 4 weeks. I have a simple question as we start this morning. I want you to think about, as you look out the windshield of your life right now, and all that's happening in your world, and all that's happening around you, and all that's happening in you, and all that's happening in your family, here's the question. How does faith shape what you see out your windshield? How does faith shape everything that you're taking in right now in your life? How does faith in God shape all of that? Think about this with me for a minute. Two people can see the exact same thing staring out of the windshield of life. They can see the exact same thing, and yet they can interpret it in an entirely different way. Anybody know that that's true? Anybody watch the evening news lately? Okay? We can see the exact same event, the exact same circumstance, the exact same moment, and yet because we witness the same thing doesn't mean we have a similar experience. In fact, let's look at this together. It'll be on the screen. How many of you see a glass that is half full? Hold your hand high. You are my people. You are my people. How many of you see a glass that is half empty? How many of you just see neither and you're like, move on, McCullum? How many of you see that? Tinley back there. Tinley's like, move it along, Chad, move it along. Your faith should be the lens through which you see the world. My faith in God should be the thing that shapes my perspective. And just in case you wondered, follow the story of Jesus. Here's Jesus with his disciples, and he's teaching them, and he's shepherding them, and he's walking with them. And Jesus was always telling his disciples, he was always trying to lift their gaze. He was always trying to lift their eyes. He was trying to shift their focus. Remember the day that they show up, and there's thousands of people. Thousands of people. And it's almost supper time. It's like there's a big outing. It's almost supper time. And the disciples come to Jesus, and they're like, Jesus, it's getting late in the day. Probably should send these people home. Probably should send them back so they can have something to eat. And Jesus looks at the disciples. Do you remember what he said? He says, you give them something to eat. What? They said, all we have is this little boy who showed up with these loaves and fish. That's all we have. And Jesus says, well, that's enough. That's enough. You see, they looked around, and all they saw was hunger. Jesus looked around and saw a possibility of being glorified in a greater way. I want to talk for a few moments today about adjusting our outlook. Because Jesus does this over and over and over again. And today in the book of Numbers, we're going to see two men that spied out land, that saw things and walked away and said, you know what? We see something different. We see something different than anybody else. Now, I am in deep debt for this series to a man by the name of Tim Mackey. If you've never listened to Tim Mackey, you should. Tim Mackey is a fantastic teacher, and anything I say in this series on strength and courage that comes across as at all profound, it was Tim Mackey, not me. So let's say a prayer, and then we'll jump right in. So Father, now we want to lift our eyes to you. I know that in this room, God, there's a whole bunch of people who face a whole bunch of things. There's financial things in this room. There's relationship things in this room. There's job things in this room. There's marriage things in this room. There's kid things in this room. But today, God, we fix our eyes on you. Help us to see what you see and to love what you love. In Christ's name, amen. How many of you got a rubber band when you walked in this morning? Can you pull that out? This is not a weapon, I want you to know. This is not to tell the pastor to stop preaching when you want him to slow down today. In the book of Numbers, the children of Israel had been traveling. You ever been on that long road trip? You're sitting in the car and the kids are in the back and they're like, are we there yet? Anybody ever been on that road trip? Are we there yet? Anybody ever have your dad say, don't make me come back there? Anybody? Anybody ever been that dad? Anybody? The tension was building. I'd like you to take your rubber band and pull it, if you would. Feel the tension of that? Don't let it go. I don't want any workplace injuries here this morning. The tension was building. They had been journeying as a group of people, millions of them. I mean, it's tough enough going on vacation with two or three kids, but imagine millions of people, and the tension was building, station wagons and minivans and U-Haul trailers. I remember the vacation that we were coming from Kansas. We were actually moving. It wasn't even a vacation. We were moving from Kansas back to Indiana, and my dad had bought this 1972 Plymouth Duster, and the dashboard of this car was vinyl, and there were teeth marks on the dashboard. And I said to my dad, what's with the dashboard? And he said, when I went to buy the car, the previous owner's kid had teeth on the dashboard of the car. And it had a vinyl interior, this dashboard that's second as a teething toy, and it had such loose steering. You could drive like this and go in a straight line down the road. It was unreal. And I remember somewhere around St. Louis, the air conditioning went out, and my sister and I are stuck to these vinyl seats, and the tension, pull the rubber band, the tension was brewing. I remember my dad being like, do not make me come back there, and my mom was like, please don't make him come back there, and the tension was brewing. The children of Israel had been wandering, and the tension was brewing. They were headed for one place, the promised land. And yet on the way, there was all kinds of this happening. There was a point where the people complained against God. They came to God and they were like, God, we're not happy about this and we don't like this and this isn't the way that it should be. And God made fire fall on the outskirts of the camp. And then you look in chapter 11, and there's a point where God sends plagues on these people. That's tension. That's tension. That's like kids throwing up in the middle of the night, tension in your house right there. Tension, and it begins to go, and they complain. They were like, we don't have meat. We wish we had meat. And God says, I'll give you meat. You want meat? I'll give you so much meat that it'll come out your nostrils, the Bible says. That's tension. And then there was tension in the hearts of leaders, Miriam and Aaron. They opposed Moses. Tension built. All was not quiet on the southern front in the hearts of these people. So when tension builds, when it gets like this in life, what do you do? Someone, some courageous soul has to stand up and say, you know what? We're going to adjust our outlook. Someone has to stand up and say, we're going to have a different spirit. Someone has to stand up and in the face of overwhelming fear, say, you know what? We're going to be people of faith. So the Israelites are right on the edge of the promised land. And God speaks to Moses and says this. Go to the next slide, Inga. God says to Moses, I want you to send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which say these words, which I... Now, God is not in a decision-making mode here. God is not thinking, I wonder what I'm going to do. God has already made up his mind. This is the land that I'm giving. You people that are filled with tension and angst and all of this, this land is the land that I am giving. I already decided this. This is the promised land. This is not the I'll think about it land. This is not the we'll see land. This is not the let me know what you think and I'll take it into consideration land. This is not the maybe land or the probably land. This is the promised land. And God says, I want 12 spies. 12. The Bible gives us their names. It also tells us their fathers' names. It tells us their names. And we remember two of the spies. The other 10, they faded into the background in history. And he says to these spies, I want you to explore the land. I want you to explore the land and look in verse 20. This is what Moses tells these spies to do. He says, I want you to see how the soil is. I want to know if it's fertile land or bad land. I want to know if there's trees there or not. And oh, by the way, I want you to do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. Somewhere along the way, they had heard that the fruit in this land was amazing. And they said, we want you to bring some of that back as well. And they said, he says to them, I want you to go in and spy out the land. For 40 days, that's what they did. For 40 days, they went into the land. They probed around the land. Can you picture them all camping out on the hillside, looking through the trees, spying out the land? Can you picture the first time they saw the fruit, and they were like, this is amazing, and they pulled the fruit from the vine. There was something in their hearts that was brewing. And after 40 days, they all saw the same thing. They all had witnessed the same landscape. They all had seen the same horizon. They came back and they said this, we went into the land to which you sent us. And let's say this together, it does flow with milk and honey. And here is the fruit. Here is the evidence of what God has promised. God said there would be great fruit in this land. And you know what? This land, it flows with milk and honey. Stories about this land have not been exaggerated. This is an amazing land. Then there's one little word that shows up. One little word that we put this in our vernacular as well. Here it is. It's this word. It's, let's say it together. Go to the next slide, Inga. It's that word. Let's say it together. But. But. This is an amazing land. This is a good land. This is a really fantastic place. The grapes are unreal. The fruit is amazing. This land flows with milk and honey. This is like the good place. This is the place we want to be. This, no doubt, is an amazing land. But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. And we even saw descendants of Anak there. The people, they're powerful people. They're big people. They're strong people. They're people we can't stand up against. The people we saw there, they are powerful. And the cities we saw there are fortified and, what are the words there? And very large. People that are powerful. Cities that are fortified. In other words, they're ready to go to war, and they're huge. And there was something in the hearts of these people that began to stir. They went on and they said, you know what, there's Amalekites that are there, and there's Hittites that are there, and there's Jebusites that are there, and there's even descendants of the Nephilim there. These are massive people. That's what I'm saving you on this one. These are massive people. And the crowd begins to stir. And the tension begins to build. Everybody pull your rubber band. That's what's happening right here. The tension begins to build. Because this is the land of promise, and these are God's people of promise, and now here they are saying, you know what, this place, I'm not so sure about this. So what do you do in a moment like that? When everything around you is going downstream, when everyone is saying, you know what, this is the end. Well, if your name is Caleb, you have a different spirit. And Caleb stands up, picture him in front of all the people, and he says this. It says that Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, let's read this together. Everybody read it loud. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Wait a minute, what? Caleb stands up. He's like, everybody, chill out. We should do this. We can certainly do this. Now remember, all of the spies had seen the same things. All of them had witnessed the same people. They all saw the same fruit. They all saw the same humans. They all saw the same land. And yet one came back, or two came back and said, we should do this. And 10 came back and said, we shouldn't do this. All of them looked at the same thing, but what they saw was different. These 10 respond, the men who had gone up with them, it'll be on the screen, they had gone up with them and they said, look, you're saying we should do this. There's two words there. Let's say this together. We can't. By the way, we can't is Latin for we won't. That's what it is. We won't. They're saying, we won't do this. We can't attack these people. We won't attack these people. We're not going to do this. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. By the way, go back a slide real quick, Inga. Sometimes you think about little kids. They're out on the playground and there's a pecking order. Who's the strongest? Who's the biggest? Who's the most? Who's the fastest? Who's the best? It's not just little kids that think that way. We can't do this. These people are stronger than us. We can't do this. These people are bigger than us. You can't do this. These people, they're huge, and the fruit is huge. We can't do it. In fact, they go on. They go on. They're like, here's the other story. Go on, Inga. And go to the next slide, if you would. They spread among the Israelites a bad report. They spread among the Israelites a bad report. Have you ever noticed that pessimism is its own pandemic? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how quick a negative word can spread when it gets in the water? They spread a bad report about the land that they had explored, and then they go on. They go from being intimidated to exaggerating. They say this, the land we explored, it devours those living in it. Wait a minute, what? All the people that we saw there, even like the women and children, this is like Lake Wobegon, all the people were of great size. The land we explored devours. We saw Nephilim, and we seemed like, oh, there's an interesting word. Go to the next slide. We seemed like what? We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked like grasshoppers to them. So 2 weeks ago, Julie and I, we went on a hot date with my sister and her husband, because anytime you double date with your sister and her husband, it's a hot date. And we went to see Garrison Keillor, if you know who Garrison Keillor is. We went to see Garrison Keillor up at the Big Top in Bayfield. And we went up there, and we're underneath the tent, and there was a point. I knew I was going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to Garrison Keillor talk about Lake Wobegon, and Julie says, she starts smacking my leg, like this. And I was like, this is really not what I expected for this hot date. And so she's smacking my leg like that, and then she whispers in my ear, "You have a grasshopper on you." And I look down, and there's a grasshopper on my knee. This is what I did with the grasshopper. I had my legs crossed. I took my fingers like this. I flicked that grasshopper so hard that it hit the lady in front of me in the back. And you could have too. Because grasshoppers are small and tiny. And the people are like, "We can't do this. We're just grasshoppers. We seem like grasshoppers in their eyes." And the people that are there, they'll eat us for lunch. Do you sense right now, at this point in the story, the amount of tension in the camp? Like the fear in the camp, the angst in the camp. I want you to know something. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not a grasshopper. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are never the underdog. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are never at the bottom rung of the ladder. I don't care what's going on around you. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care what the news says at the end of the day. If God is for you, who can be against you? These people spread this negative report, and it spreads far, and it spreads wide. And we'll just walk through it really quick. Listen to what the negative report, what happens next in chapter 14. It says, that night, how many people raised their voices and wept aloud? How many of them did? Let's say that word, that night. All of them did it. All of them grumbled. All of them said, the whole assembly said to them, go to the next slide, Inga. All of them said, if only, man, those two words will get you messed up in life, and if I had more time, I'd dwell there. If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Or here's another one. You ever have a six-year-old say this to you? Why? Why? I think that's the first word that they learn after mine is why. Why? Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? They're going to take our wives. We worked hard for these wives. And they're going to take them from us. They're going to take our kids as plunder. And then, wouldn't it be better? This is what we start to do. When we really spiral, we start to think what would be better. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Wouldn't it be better? And in fact, here's what we should do. You know what we should do? We should choose a leader, and we should go back to Egypt. Listen, friends, to answer the question, wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? I'll save you the Bible study. The answer is no. Egypt was slavery. Egypt was sweat at the brow. Egypt was loved ones dying on the work site from heat exhaustion. Egypt is not where they want to go. And they said to each other, let's choose a leader and let's go back. Picture this, friends, the rubber band. It's really tight right now. Pessimism has become a pandemic in the hearts of these people. They're going to eat our wives. They're going to have our kids for lunch. We should just go back. We need a new leader. That's the problem. We need someone else in charge. This is not good. And everybody, 10 spies came back and give a report. Suddenly, millions of people are overwhelmed with this. And what do you do? What do you do when everyone around you is complaining and everyone around you is criticizing and everyone around you is plotting? What do? If you're Joshua and Caleb, you stand up with a different spirit in your heart and you say this. The land that we passed through and explored is, what is the words there? Exceedingly good. It's like really good. And oh, by the way, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. And this is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And God will give us that land. So don't rebel against the Lord. Joshua and Caleb point up and they're like, look, this whole rant you're going on, this isn't just about human leaders. This is about, are you rebelling against God or not? So don't rebel against the Lord. Don't push back on God. And oh, by the way, don't be afraid of the people of the land, because we will what? Wait a minute. I thought they were the ones that were going to devour us. And Joshua and Caleb stand up. And they have a different spirit, the Bible says. And they said, you know what? You want to know who's going to devour who? We're devouring them. Their protection is gone. But, let's say this together. The Lord is. Say that better. The Lord is. So don't be afraid. 10 spies stand up. Their faith is in the giants. 2 spies stand up. Their faith is in a holy, mighty God. 10 spies stand up, and all they can do is talk about themselves. We can't do this. We have challenges. We're just like grasshoppers, and we look like grasshoppers to them, that they never talk about God. 2 spies stand up, and all they talk about is God. Listen, friends, Joshua and Caleb have confidence, not because they're good fighters, and not because they're like, you know, American warriors. They have a confidence that is in God and in who God is. Now, I think most of us want to be this way. I don't know anybody who says, you know what, I want to live in chronic fear. Like, that sounds like a good idea. But how do you do that? Like, in a practical way, how do you live like Joshua and Caleb, when the whole world is like this? And if you haven't noticed, turn on the evening news. The whole world is like this. How do you see something different? Let me give you 3 questions, and then we'll be done. Here's the first question. These are really personal questions. They're for you. Here's the first question. What am I looking for? Think about it. You're riding in your car. You're looking out the horizon of your life. It's a brand new day. What are you looking for? Here's what I know. I know that we're all going to see the same things in the course of a day. If we turn on the evening news, we're all going to see the same stories. If we read the newspaper, we're all going to see the same things. The question isn't, what am I seeing? The question is, what am I looking for? The 10 spies went out, and all they saw were hindrances. All they saw were reasons that they couldn't do this. But Joshua and Caleb, they went out, and all they saw was the fruit of what God can do. If you look for frustrations in life, you'll find them. You want a reason to complain? I'll give you 30. You want a reason to be frustrated? I'll give you 40. I'll tell you stories, and we could all tell stories that would put us all in the dumpster today. Or We could look and say, God, today I'm looking for you. If you look for obstacles, you'll see them. What you look for has a way of determining what you see. What you see. The Bible tells us, fix your thoughts on what is true, on what is honorable, on what is right, on what is pure, on what is lovely, on what is admirable. Think on these things. What are you looking for? Here's a second question. This is a big one, friends. Who are you listening to? Who do I listen to? The answer to this question resulted in these people wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness because of who they listened to. Every day, you are surrounded by voices. Voices that are saying all kinds of things. And the question is, what voice will you listen to? Will you listen to a voice that says you are like a grasshopper in your own eyes? Or will you listen to a voice of truth? The voice of God that says, if God is for us, who can be against us? What are you looking for? And who are you listening to? Who will you listen to? Will you listen to the 10 or will you listen to the 2? Will you look at life through a grid of fear, or will you look at life through a grid of faith? Here's the last question. What kind of words am I speaking? 10 came back and gave a negative report, and it spread like wildfire. 2 came back with a different Spirit. Your words will create your world. They will. And Jesus said, listen, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. What are you looking for? And who are you listening to? What kind of words are you speaking? I'd like you to bow your heads with me if you would. Every land has giants in it. Every land has obstacles in it. And the problem is not that there are giants in the land. The problem is that there's fear and unbelief in our hearts. The biggest giant in my life is me. Every promised land has problems. Every blessing has bumps. Canaan will always come with Canaanites. Obstacles are those things we see when we take our eyes off of God. Just for today, let's remember. Let's remember that no matter how big the problems, God is bigger. Let's remember that no matter how big the problems, God is faithful and God is powerful and God will fulfill His promise. And let's focus on the fruit. Let's believe as a church and as a community and as a people that God is with us today. So, Father, today, in a world that is broken, time that is torn, we fix our eyes on you. We don't dismiss the fact that there's obstacles and challenges in our world. We know that. But we fix our eyes on you. And we look for you, God, at work all around the edges. We look for you, God, at work all around the fringes today. we thank you for how you are working. We thank you for what you are doing. May we be people of strength and courage this day. Because if God is with us, who can be against us?